Welcome back to the Wellhouse Exorcism. This is your ghost of host with the most, Shanna.
Hi, it's PJ.
No, it's not. It's?
It's Puckwa PJ.
There it is. You're always Puckwa PJ
now. Happy to be here tonight.
Yes, and this is Puckwa PJ's choice, which is?
Well, tonight we are talking about the cult house and Devil's Road.
Your voice is very soothing this evening. Are you trying to make me fall asleep on my own show?
Well, I thought this was the Easily Listening podcast.
Are ghost stories easy listening?
They could be.
Well, I like to watch serial killer, shows and fall asleep, so maybe it is.
Oh, boy.
Welcome back. Yes, we are going to discuss Devil's Road and the Cult House.
Yes.
Tonight.
Yes.
Are you excited, Papa
PJ? I am. This one, it's such an interesting little bit of local legend.
Yeah. Urban legend, I'd like to say.
For sure. A lot of urban legend in this one.
Well, and it's funny because it's inside our borders of Pennsylvania, but Delaware tries to claim it because it is close to the border.
It's very close to the border.
Back off, Delaware. The cult house is ours. You want to keep it? Question mark. Well, we'll discuss if it's real or not and if there are lots of culty things happening there or not. And if it really is the Devil's Road, or not.
Or not.
So let's get started. The Devil's Road.
Where is it?
It's just a couple miles through the woods of Chad's Ford.
All right. There it is.
Near the Delaware border. The road is actually called Cossart Road, but we all call it Devil's Road. Why?
Because it's bad.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yes, because the trees do something crazy. They bend away from the road like they're like, oh my gosh, no. They're so horrified by what is happening on this road.
More importantly, they bend away from one specific location on the road, which is the cult house.
That's what they say.
Yes.
Yes.
We'll get into that. Also on this road is where they filmed The Village.
Well, it's not on the road specifically. It's in that area. It's that the woods.
No, you literally, the gate that leads to where the town was built is on that road. Like, you had to turn off of Cossart Road to get to...
The cult house is not...
No, the village... No. No. The village did not feature the cult house.
But Delaware also can't claim M. Night Shyamalan. He's ours as well.
Yep.
That's right.
That's right. He's Philly native.
That's correct.
All of his stuff is filmed in the Philly area. Mostly Bucks County.
I'd say Bucks County. Because, obviously, looking at Signs is not filmed in Philadelphia. Yeah.
But some of his movies, one of them, without spoiling it, because I won't say the name of the movie, but one of them ends in the Philadelphia Zoo.
Oh my gosh.
And, awesome. Right in front of the fountain where we, had our pictures taken and everything. It's like, oh, I know that place.
That seems familiar to me. I just love that he... keeps everything in PA, and that the village is based off of this idea, too, because he's from the area, so he knows all the creepy stories. He's, haunted, creepy, was it haunted, creepy, monster things going on.
Yeah.
So, it is Cossart Road. Now, the cult house, as it's come to be known, I guess, is there, and it is because it was once, or currently-ish?
Once. I don't think it is anymore.
The current owner. You have a story about the current owner.
Oh, okay.
The DuPont family was the original ownership of this. And actually, until a couple of years ago, there was a little old lady DuPont still living in one wing of the cult house. Huh. There you go. Do you know the backstory of the DuPonts?
A little bit. I know that they are the 17th wealthiest family in America at $17 billion.
You did some research. I did not
know. No, not 17 billion. Billions.
Honestly, 17,000 is a lot of money compared to what we currently have. I know, right?
It's somewhere in that area, though. It's like several billion.
Yeah. It's more than us. It's
definitely 17th richest. I know that much.
We can claim them, too.
They're in the billions.
Back off, Delaware.
They're in the billions. They are also one of the, quote, unquote, 13 families of the Illuminati. If you believe in that, they are one of the 13 families. And they started they got their wealth initially in gunpowder during the French Revolution in the 1800s.
DuPont is French, so yeah. There we are.
They fled to America because of the French Revolution, blah, 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 blah. Where they, and, that. Yeah, what?
We're going to keep that.
Yeah, well, obviously. We kept it when you.
I don't know. Blah, 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 blah.
So, but yeah, that's the basis. You know, from there, they got other companies and stuff. Yeah. Like,
I feel like if you're running during the French Revolution, it's because you're not a good person. Like,
well,
vive la revolution. Well, the poor will take over. Can you hear the people sing? You know, that
nope, I'm on the boat leaving. Can't hear you.
And that entire thing was not about that part. Anyway, moving on. So, yes, but more specifically, they wanted to keep the money in the family.
So, oh, yeah.
As
yeah.
the urban legend continues.
No, this is not urban legend. This is fact.
Is it proven? Because I could not find proof. It's just...
From
suggested over
more like common knowledge than proof. Like I have an article from a local radio station, and they're like, "Yeah, they definitely did this."
Remember, you
so
can
what
marry
did they
your
do?
You can marry your first cousin, and there's enough genetic variability that you won't have any issues.
Yeah,
but the DuPont family is known for, whether it is fact or not, inbreeding to keep the money in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would marry their cousins in the house, so in the cult house. And so since they did so much inbreeding, the local lore says they had a lot of inbred babies that had mutations and, of course, would not live long in the world. So they buried these poor, unfortunate children all over the property.
Yeah. So here's a quote from the article.
Okay.
This is from WJBR, and they're... thing is 99.5. Mix 99.5. WJBR.
Hmm.
All right. So they have here. So the house did host a cult to some degree. It was common for the DuPont family members to marry among the bloodline, marrying their cousins so that the wealth would not be distributed outside the family.
You know, it's interesting because I always think back to Poe because... that's the person I am.
I wonder why.
I'm a little obsessed. But, you know, he lived in across the entire East Coast. He lived in Philadelphia for quite a while. The only intact Poe house that still exists is in Philadelphia. If you didn't know that, I do. It's called the Poe Museum. And so this is common knowledge. He wrote a short story called The Fall of the House of Usher. And the story goes that there is, you know, this beautiful mansion out in the middle of nowhere. And the narrator has to travel there to get there because the Roderick, the friend, has no other friends. So this unnamed narrator has to go visit Roderick because he has no one else to talk to. But Roderick has a twin sister. And the backstory of that is their family tree has no branches. Mm. The inbreeding was done to keep the money in the family. So this is just me kind of batting around here, but I wonder if he based it off of the DuPont family since they, you know, would yeah. have predated that short story. They made their money and they lived here.
Could be, but I mean, that's not a story people haven't heard before. You know, royalty
well, yes.
does it all
well,
the time.
Well, but he
and
used
things
a lot
that.
Of a lot of local stories for like the Cask of Amontillado is based off of a true story. Of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's American
yeah,
lore right
exactly.
there.
Exactly. So yeah. I'm just, this is me, you know, popping mm-hmm, in the dark mm-hmm. there. Little thought there, little Poe thought, because you know me, I love my other work husband. Anyway, so the cult activity that they get noticed for now, if it is true,
mm-hmm.
the cult house has allowed Satanists to be there as well as the Ku Klux Klan.
Yep.
Those are two biggies.
Yeah.
And they're also, the windows of this house are said to be in the shape of a cross, or mm-hmm. for the Satanist believers, an inverted cross. Ooh. Bom, 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 bom. So again, that's based on local legend. So I'm not sure it's actually true.
So, and the house is so far away from the road, you can't see it yeah. from the road.
And I do want to say here, on a side note, if you feel like driving down Cossart Road, do not stop. And be careful where you walk.
Well,
because there are no trespassing signs that get ripped
everywhere.
Out. Well, and you'll find them in the creek because people, like pranksters, drive along the road and they'll rip out the no trespassing signs or they'll spray paint them. Mm-hmm. So you don't know that. But there's also a no stopping sign or five. Like you're not supposed
five
to stop.
5 million. Like, yeah, just go on the Google Earth and use Street View and just go down Cossart Road because it's seriously every 10 feet, there's a no stopping sign, no trespassing sign, private property sign, something.
Knock it off.
Yeah.
So it's just, so if you're going to go, go with caution. Please do not walk anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the cult
house. Be respectful. Yes. It's private property, so.
Yeah, you cannot walk to the cult house. or if you, could, I just wouldn't suggest without getting in trouble. But there have been stories of people walking out in the woods around there that are dressed as Satanists and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So whether they are local pranksters trying to scare you or if they are legit, I would say keep driving in your car for safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So have you heard about other things in this area, PJ?
So, they're the creepy trees that
yes.
bend, almost parallel to the ground in some parts.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that though. I have
theories.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really a theory. I think it's just science, but anyway.
Yeah. Some of it is really weird though. Those trees.
Do you want to discuss the creepiest tree they have right here in front of me?
Let's do it.
All right. The creepiest set of trees is what they call the skull tree. So here's a picture our listeners cannot see, but you can Google it.
If you Google skull tree, Kosa Road or Devil's Road,
it'll pop up. So, there's a story behind this, but really what it is a tree that it looks like erosion has naturally kind of done the process here.
Uh-huh.
And so the roots are exposed. Honestly, when I see this picture, I want to imagine like, a couple of hobbits hiding here.
Hiding from a ringwraith above
possibly,
them.
Possibly, yeah. It has that kind of shape to it. So like, it just makes me think of that iconic scene in Lord of the Rings. But it looks like an exposed bunch of root systems.
For sure.
The tree is growing on the side of, it looks like a hill. Again, Google the picture and you'll see what I mean. But from certain angles, it does look like a skull, which is very creepy. And so...
And this angle happens to be against the road.
Yes.
So you see the skull very clearly.
So they say that the reason it's here is because... I'm reading this from Creepy Urban Legends by Yuko, Cult House, and Devil's Road. The legend of the road begins with the story of a mansion located within the forest known locally as the Cult House. Once owned and operated by the wealthy DuPont family, the stone mansion did house a cult of some kind. As locals told us, it was common for the DuPont family members to marry their cousins in the house so that the family's wealth could stay in the family. Others dismissed the notion entirely, pointing to the fact that the house was home to Satanists and KK members who only wanted to rid the world of what they considered impurities. Over time, the trees devoured the bodies of the children who were buried, and they took the shape of children's skulls. And so it says here later, the roots or the trees face away from the home. And it says they're rumored, again, I'm kind of flashing forward here. Other trees in the area resemble skulls and were rumored to be the dumping locations of the DuPont babies who were born disabled. Over time, the trees devoured the bodies and took the shape of the child's skull, which is horrifying, but also not true.
Yeah. There are stories of hearing crying children coming from the trees.
If you hear a crying baby sound, please be careful. I mean that, like, as a person who respects wildlife, you're talking,
there
could be screech owls out there, there could be mountain lions. You know, a lot of these sounds come from animals that, you know, are trying to bring you in only so they can eat you. So just please be careful.
So something else, there is that. Like, there are many skull trees in those woods, you know, like that, because I'm, you know, just the way that the woods are and the trees are, that, like, that root system and structure forms pretty commonly in that forest.
Poplar tree roots grow close to the ground, on the top of the ground, so I wonder if it maybe is, like, a poplar.
Maybe.
I can't see leaves
but
in the picture.
But the skull tree is gone.
Yeah, it got cut down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got sick of people graffitiing it.
Yes.
So they tried filling it with concrete. And then they just removed it completely.
Yep. So that skull tree no longer exists. They cut it down too because people kept like spray painting 666 on it.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Swastikas. So I think it was more like to knock it off or cutting the tree down. Yep.
There's a video on YouTube of the tree just covered in so much paint. It looks like it was tie-dyed.
Oh my.
Yeah. It was quite the colorful thing.
When you look at this picture here, like, where's all the graffiti then?
Yeah. Right.
Well, fine. So yes, the tree itself I find to be creepy, but there's a natural reason for it. So whether or not the DuPonts were a part of a Satanist group, whether or not they invited the Ku Klux Klan in, okay? Mm-hmm. If all of that is fake, okay, fine. We know there's some kind of inbreeding going on, but in certain, you know, states, it's legal to marry your first cousin. So do what you will, all right? But people are now using this area as a place for cults and satanic activity.
Yeah, just like abandoned asylums and things like mm-hmm. that. People, learn that there's a creepy past, so then they make it worse mm-hmm. by bringing in all this bad energy and bad stuff to it.
And they think it's okay to do that. So I was reading in the, of course, I have the book here, Weird Pennsylvania. I love this book. Such by a great Matt Lake. Book. Yeah. But there, and this is, I'm just pulling it up here because there's more stories in my other articles, but the amount of dead animals that are found, eviscerated here, it's disgusting. So it says here, devil worship and dead animals. Driving down the road toward the mansion, we noticed a pile of dead animals, mostly raccoons, slit from throat to genitals and completely gutted. It was like there was just a frame of the animal left. When we finally approached the mansion, I was even more disgusted. Hanging from the black iron gate were more carcasses like the ones we'd just seen. It's also said that if you go at night, you can hear the satanic worshiping that goes on inside, word for word. Fortunately, we were there during the day. But, I mean, the amount of dead bodies of, like, these poor animals that they find, it's just, like, insane. So I can see why the cops are constantly patrolling, because you have this horrible stuff happening in the backdrop of an area that maybe does have some kind of terrible background.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if the KKK really have met there. I don't know if the neo-Nazis are in charge still. I don't know if there's Satanists there. But I do know that people are using the area to put up graffiti, but also torture and kill animals. Mm-hmm. So that's just not okay. Now, let's go back to the trees, for example, before we go on. Why do you think the trees bend away from the road? I want to hear your theories.
Okay, so part of it is just by looking at them and seeing like videos of it and stuff like that, of the road. It's obvious that some of them are just growing on an embankment, and they're growing they're growing sideways. Others, it's also extremely obvious that they're growing straight up, and then they were trimmed and pruned to grow sideways away from power lines and phone lines. So most of them, it's like 90% of them, is man-made or just geography.
Yeah.
But then there are some that curve. I have no explanation for that. I have
my own theory about that. So definitely, and actually it's in one of the newer articles I had pulled up on my laptop, but we don't have to really read it since we're already discussing it. If you talk to the current owners and past owners, they'll tell you, and even like the cops and the locals in the area, the trees bend away because they were trimmed for the power lines. Because literally you can see where the power lines go. They weren't put in there after. The trees were cut for the power lines.
Yeah, and we do it all the time in America, or in Pennsylvania especially. Yeah. Usually though, our trees are just
lop the top of the trees.
Yeah. Well, we make like this V down the middle of the tree. So the tree kind of like makes the Y from YMCA with its branches.
Or we just cut it at a diagonal. And especially if you're like right up against a road, like a fast road, they just kind of chop in a diagonal. So you get like half of a Y. So one half's allowed to grow, the other half, there's nothing.
Well, that's what happened here on Kelsart Road, you know, and then it just kept growing in that direction
it
to grow.
So my other theory is for the ones that aren't, they were kind of growing, but they shouldn't be growing. They weren't pruned. I wonder, we do get tornadoes here and we do get downdraft winds. You see those winds that kind of come down. It looks like a tornado's gone through, but it just has been that downdraft wind from the tornado and it makes everything go in one direction.
Yeah.
Remember that? I think that happened.
I agree for some of them, because some of them are just growing at an angle, but there's some that are almost, they're like a semicircle, you know, like they're curved, you know, they would have had to slowly grow like in that.
Okay. New theory. we're not on limited, but new theory. So trees actually do talk to each other.
Yes. Yeah. Through mycelia. I forget what it's called.
Through their root systems. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah,
the fungus, right? Actually. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. You don't have to look it up. You don't have to be that smart. You can.
I do want to look it up. I think it's called mycelia.
Smart. But maybe it's saying, hey, bend with us. Grow the way that we grow. Maybe that's what's happening. Be part of the ship, part of the crew, part of the ship. That's what's happening. I like to assume that they're just talking to each other.
Yeah, mycelium. Yep.
Mycelium. Yeah. There you go.
anyone who saw The Last of Us HBO series.
Yep, there it is.
Because it's not in the game, but it's in the show where it's this network of fungus that connects forests together and stuff like that. The largest living organism in the world is mycelium fungus that covers thousands of acres. But anyways, trees can talk to each other. If one gets infested with termites or something, it'll offload nutrients into the mycelium. So other trees in the forest can get those nutrients. They also recognize their kin and will, like, ship nutrients to their seedlings and stuff like that.
It's so sweet.
It's crazy. Like, it's absolutely insane what trees can do.
And that's why The Happening could be possible.
No.
I happen to like M. Night Shyamalan. Anyway.
Not that movie.
Not that one. You've never seen
that one, have you?
Well, I didn't want to because I thought the premise was stupid.
Yeah.
Earth wants to kill us.
So, but yeah, in terms of the cult house, though.
Well, can I go back to the tree? Okay. According to the legend, police discovered the remains of a sacrificial victim inside the tree a couple years ago, which is another reason why they chopped it down. Don't know if it's actually true, but I thought I'd toss that in there because it came from one of my articles.
Yeah.
From the Creepy Urban Legends.
Okay.
And before we go back to the cult house, there also is a guardhouse there somewhere on the property. And inside this guardhouse, there is a fleet of pickup trucks.
That's what I was getting at. Okay. Yep.
And based on the different stories, they're either red or they're black. So yeah. Go ahead.
They're dark in color. Like, if they're red, they're always described as dark red, too. Or at least from what I saw.
I mean, why would you drive a red car? If you want to scare somebody, it's going to be black.
Yeah, right.
And it has to be, like, gunmetal black. Like, there has to be no shimmer to it. Just spray paint black.
Whoever owns this cult house still, like, they have lots of money. Oh, first off, this cult house is a complex. I looked at it from Google Earth again, and it's lots of buildings, and they're large buildings all over the place.
Well, they had to put all their cousins somewhere. Sorry.
Yeah?
Continue on.
So it makes sense that if they guard their privacy this much, and if they're bombarded by touristy, annoying teenagers so much, that they would definitely hire guards in black SUVs to, you know, if someone's driving down the road a little too slowly.
Then I ask myself, like, is it really worth living there? Like, sell the property and go build a house somewhere else. Like, I know that sounds terrible, but, like...
Well, I mean...
the money you're dumping into living house, because the only owner of that house is one dude now.
Yeah.
That's just... Seriously,
still the DuPonts...
Well, that's true, if it's the DuPonts. Maybe they're hiding something.
They could pay the salary of, like, what, 15 guardsmen and not even notice it in their, you know, in their accounts.
Why would they pay them? What are they trying to guard, PJ?
Their privacy.
Yeah, what are they hiding? What is there to hide? Exactly.
But, yeah, so, like, people say that they will... you know, just be followed by these SUVs, often with their lights turned off, until they get off the road. Something else to know is that if you don't live in a rural area, if you live in an urban area, you've probably never experienced a 1.5-lane road.
Yeah.
Because back roads in many rural states, not just Pennsylvania, they're not 2 lanes. They don't have the yellow markings in the center because they're not wide enough to have those.
They were the size for carriages back in the day.
So they're called 1.5 lanes. So if there's an oncoming car coming,
someone's got to scooch over.
Yeah, you slow down and you both get to the edges of the road so you can pass each other. And that's the kind of road this is. So if you slow down on this road, people are going to notice very quickly, especially if someone's behind you.
Well, I have some stories here, too, before I get into the creepy cars. Still coming from the creepy urban legends. Many youngsters have explored Devil's Road in an attempt to uncover the secrets that lie within the property. This is very dangerous. The land is private property and covered with no trespassing signs, which you mentioned already. This doesn't stop young risk takers and adrenaline junkies. Two stories derive from people who end up trespassing on the property. Either they are chased off the premises by guards wearing trench coats and black hoods with huge flashlights, or by men in tinted blacked-out diesel trucks. Their story is they see and hear things that cannot be explained or even seen. Over time, dead animals, crosses, spray paint symbols, and sometimes nooses have been spotted around the premises. And so here is a local account from a person named William. "There was a light waving around and shining on the trees, but it was far away. I stopped my car and looked into the woods, and as soon as I stopped, it went off. A few seconds later, it started back up, and it would shine just like SOS, three short, three long, and three short again. I had no service this whole time either. I was pretty freaked out, so I started driving very slowly, and as soon as I started to pull off, I saw a huge flame shoot up in the trees and heard a shrieking scream. I don't know exactly what I saw, but to me, I think they were literally lighting someone on fire. I drove right home." I like how I drove home, but didn't call the cops. Oh, those crazy cultists. And you wonder how many of these, you know, nooses that are in the trees and graffiti signs, they're just done by kids being
Oh, for sure. Kids, yeah.
You know, it's just, it's kind of upsetting when you have that happen because it's like you're ruining a local area.
Yeah.
You know, just, and if there is just a dude living there who wants to live out his life and enjoy life, well, knock it off.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me think of, you know, a lot of dumb internet things like Slenderman and stuff where it's not real, but kids, you know, start, you know, doing stuff to make it feel more real, like that kind of garbage there.
Well, I have more stories here.
Let's hear them.
Weird USA. Chased by
Weird Pennsylvania.
Did I say Weird USA? Sorry. Yes, yeah. Weird Pennsylvania. Thank you. Did you know that Pennsylvania means Penn's Woods. Forest?
Yes.
There you go. Anyway.
Sylvania.
The entryway to Satan Road, as it's affectionately called, is so overgrown with trees and vines that it resembles a tunnel. Once you start down the road, there is no turning back. It is a very windy and, despite being a two-lane road, is uncomfortably narrow for even a single car. About halfway down the road, you come around one of the bends and you see it plain as day and indisputable, the cult house. All the trees near grow up a few feet, and they all turn at an angle so sharp that they are almost parallel to the ground. Always away from the house, it's not just two or three trees, it's every tree for several hundred feet. The Satan worshippers wait for your arrival at the entrance to the road in a black SUV. As soon as you start to slow down and turn, they turn on their headlights, pop out from hiding, and chase you out to a bridge on Route 100. I myself have been chased once by the SUV and have seen some sort of eerie bright blue flash when we were about to enter the road. That scared us enough to not even bother with the road that night. That's from Greg H. I'd imagine it's Greg Hemsworth. But it probably isn't. It'd be cool if it was, though. So there's more stories about trucks, too. It says here, "Run when you see the whites of their eyes," also from Weird Pennsylvania. "I hail from the great town of Broomall in Delaware County. If anyone has written from my area, it's probably been about Satanville, located off Route 1 just before the Brandywine Civil War Museum. All my life, I've heard the stories about the place, sometimes called Hell's House. It's actually an old church in the middle of a field. You get on this road where the trees bend completely away from the road. Legend has it that the devil, in a fit of rage, let out an ear-piercing scream down the road one night. From that point on, the trees have grown away from it." So another reason as to why the trees grow away. Ooh. The devil screamed. "Now comes the tricky part, finding the church. We followed that road for at least 2 hours until we found the gate leading back to the church. Of course, the road is completely littered with KKK and devil worshiper graffiti. The gate was secured with a fresh padlock, and the path leading back to the church was extremely overgrown. Thus, my Bronco would not have it. You definitely need a Jeep, just go on foot. Just around the time of finding the gate, a car passed us. The driver's faces were completely white, with dark hair, sporting the gothic look. Their eyes were also white, like perhaps they were rolled up all the way. Needless to say, we were out of there like a bat out of heck. Numerous people, including close friends, have been there. Usually you get chased away by black pickup trucks or black Broncos that chase you to the exit before veering off." So, another person here, and that was from a guy named Steve. And then a lady named Stephanie says same thing here. She says, "People really do chase you out of there. I remember one time around 2 p.m. I was driving with one of my friends on Devil's Road, and a black SUV sped up behind us, then turned into the woods. There was no dirt road or anything. It just turned right into the woods. But the next thing I knew, he was coming full speed right towards us. One time when there was a full moon, I could see a fire and the outlines of about 12 to 15 people standing in a circle around it. Then I got chased off by two Bronco SUVs." So, yeah, there you go. So there's other stories I found online, too, of it. Do you have any stories of them being chased away by red or black pickup trucks or
nothing,
Broncos?
Nothing too particularly interesting. There was one video on YouTube where the guy was like driving slowly, talking about everything, and then as he's like panning his camera like from the front windshield over to his left door and then to the back. Like, there's just a black truck behind him. He's like, oh no!
They're here! Run!
Oh, whether God. Or not it was, you know, one of their trucks, who knows, but no, it was, yeah, the coincidence of that was to be noted for sure.
No. What a terrible time. Oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine. So I do want to, like, pull up an article from Streets and Legends. It was written by Sean Gallagher, and it was actually written for, I believe, his college, but it's for the Review. So he wrote this in February 4th, 2000. So he talks a lot about, like, the background of the Colt House and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But later he actually puts in comments from the owners. So I want to scroll down and kind of mention that. So it does say, I hear kids upstairs running around and I started giggling. Oh, darn children. He does say that, you know, people around the area don't believe that there's a cult. They don't believe it's bad. But the one comment was from one person, I still won't let my children ride their bikes on that road. So I love that, like, even though we believe there's, you know, the rumors aren't true and there's no cult activity, there's no KKK, but just in case. But it does say here, the owner used to be a little old lady. She lived by herself in a wing of the house. She was a DuPont. She died about 4 or 5 years ago. So that was 2000. This was written in 2000. So she died in the late 90s. The current owner, he says, is an elderly gentleman whom he and the other residents have all met. There is no cult, he says. So apparently it's still owned, and this guy still is there, and everyone in the area has met this dude who owns it. But there's no cult. Ooh. All right. But then why do you need people in black trucks to protect you? And that's my question.
Yeah.
My only question I have.
So I did learn that there were at least 3 bodies buried on the property.
Yeah, so I actually have that here.
Okay.
Yes. So that is true.
Yes.
Yes, at least 3.
Yeah, gang-related killings.
Yes. But there are some interesting things that happen. I use my word interesting again. I'm not hearing myself saying it.
How interesting.
There are some paranormal things.
To quote the Angry Beavers, that's almost interesting.
That's almost interesting. So I do like the discussion because there is, like, this is a whole background from the Devil's Road Information. It's a actual Google Doc that you can open. People are compiling stories. I found this actually off of Reddit because this one person's trying to, like, learn more about this area because he wants to do a big presentation on it. So it says there is a satanic church, chapel, and a barn. There is no visible driveway, but there is a visible path, which goes over to the guardhouse. Moving on, though, it says, when walking to the house, people describe hearing strange noises. Near the house, there are 1 to 2 lakes, which are located near a drainage pipe leading straight up to the house. The house is made of river stone and has been blacked out upside down crosses on it, which is common in old houses in that area. Some reports say that the house and church burned down in the 90s and was refurbished, but regardless, you can hear children crying, babies crying, women screaming, and odd sounds, whatever that means. So there is ghostly activity here.
Yeah.
In and around. But so you're talking about the Johnston Gang.
The Johnston Gang.
Yes. I actually have the original article from the newspaper. So what do you know about the Johnston Gang?
Not much, to be honest with you. Just that they were gangsters in the early 1900s, and a movie was made.
Mid-1900s.
Okay. Yeah. And a movie was made about them starring Christopher Walken and Sean Penn.
Of course. Do you know what they were famous for doing?
No.
Stealing farm equipment.
Excellent. A very Pennsylvanian thing to do.
Well, they're not from around here, fun fact.
I can't count the number of times on Facebook we see, like, hey, have you seen this tractor? Please call this number if you have.
My question is, how does one steal a tractor? It's kind of big. But yeah, so, and they would also dupe law enforcement by calling in fake emergencies. You know, like, oh, I heard that there's someone over there, while they go and steal something.
They go the opposite direction and steal something.
Yep. They did make newspaper headlines, though, in 1976 for robbing Dutch Wonderland amusement park.
No!
I know, not Dutch Wonderland! See, if you're not from Pennsylvania, you don't understand.
Never been there, but I always wanted to go.
It's so quaint and beautiful, yes. I think I went there one time as a Girl Scout. But they robbed it.
How dare they?
But from the Dutch, the Pennsylvania Dutch, the poor Amish. Anyway. So, it's just, crazy that they were stealing things, but there are some really sad stories. So a lot of the murder started in 1970s, I should say. Mm-hmm. But part of it was there's Bruce Sr. and there's Bruce Jr. And Bruce Jr. was angry because his girlfriend, who was 15 at the time, was raped in a hotel room.
Oh, my.
So there is that anger in the background. And then he's going to flip on them because he's upset that his girlfriend was shot in the jaw.
Bruce Jr. was played by Sean Penn.
Of course.
Christopher Walken was Sr.
Of course.
That's all I got for you.
Wowzers. But in fact, you know, you have Bruce Sr. He actually set out to kill Bruce Jr. as well. After the murder of the four other people, one person has not, the body has not been located, but three of them have.
Hmm.
So there might be four bodies on that property, just saying.
Wow.
One
property now.
Well, yes, you're right. But since Bruce Jr. was under police protection because he was going to speak out against the members of the Johnston gang, he went to take his girlfriend to Hershey Park. Hey, Hershey Park.
All right. Again, he's to ride two rides.
Yeah. Oh, back then it may have been more. But he was on his way out, and that's when his girlfriend gets shot and killed. She gets shot right in the jaw, and she dies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now, he got hit 9 times, Bruce Jr., but he did survive, and he'd go on to testify against his father, Bruce Sr., and the gang. Yeah, so the story was made into a movie called At Close Range, which you're mentioning.
Yep.
But I do have, like, this original article about them. And it was actually printed in New Orleans, L.A., because they weren't from around here. They moved up this area. So it is true. Like, again, so if Devil's Road, if the DuPonts, if it's not true, the whole DuPont thing, if none of the satanic worshiping is true, at least this is true. And when you have burials happening, people who were killed so horribly and led out into this area to be killed, you know, it's just, you have that taint of negativity.
The violent crimes.
Yeah. So there's a lot to discuss the idea that this is haunted. So this comes from This Haunted Place. That's what the article's called.
Excellent.
I love it. Yeah. this haunted house, right? But who wants to buy it? No. So I'm just going to kind of skim through the article because it's, as you can see, quite lengthy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now I do want to say that this is pretty graphic, the discussions here. So it's kind of gross.
Like buried under a pile of bodies graphic.
Sorry, I hit my microphone on some flip papers. Yeah. Well, it's, you know. So I'm going to start on page 2. On December 30th, 1978, then state trooper Tom Cloud was on his knees digging at the frozen ground with a tablespoon in the middle of a sprawling estate in Chadsford. Beside him was Chester County Detective Larry Dampman. Now you're wondering why a tablespoon? Because they had to make sure they didn't disturb any of the evidence.
Makes sense.
You'll understand why in a second, yeah. It was a surreal scene. Battery-powered lights, such as the ones used in a photo studio, cast an eerie glow over the hilltop area. A bonfire was going nearby. They were trying to, like, heat up the ground a little bit because it was, you know, it's Pennsylvania, December.
Yeah.
And you're digging with a tablespoon?
Yeah, we essentially have permafrost if it gets cold enough. I mean, the ground freezes.
Yeah, Jackie, you're in California. I know that you guys get winter sometimes, but... Yeah.
Northern California, they know what that's like.
It's cold here. Yeah. We actually went through a heat wave this week of, like, 89 degrees and I was dying.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that humid. Anyway, dozens of police milled about. Investigators scraped away dirt carefully so as not to damage what they were looking for. Finally, resistance to the digging softened. The police had found what they were there for, and the stench was overpowering. Slowly, spoonful by spoonful, the bodies of 3 young men were unearthed. The bodies of Jimmy Johnson, 18, the stepson of Bruce Sr., Wayne Sampson, 20, and Dwayne Lincoln, 17, had been piled like firewood, one on top of the other. Their faces were unrecognizable. One wore a Tweety Bird shirt. Isn't that just... Because these are teenagers.
Yeah.
The oldest is 20. And again, one is his stepson.
Yeah.
Like, killing someone just in general is terrible, but, like, you're killing your own family, and then he puts a hit out on his own son, Bruce Jr., right? Because they're a gang who steals farm equipment, but ugh. But does say, the discovery would eventually break up a notorious ring of criminals that had eluded and taunted police for years. There was no jubilation, though. It was the most gruesome thing I ever saw, Cloud said, and it was sad. Here were these kids with their whole lives in front of them. And then it goes on about there was someone there who was helping to prosecute the Johnstons. Her name was Dolores Troiani. She says she remembers that the best preserved parts of the bodies were the feet because the boys wore heavy work boots. But the smell was so bad, I had to throw away my clothes, she said. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. Next to her was Ricky Mitchell, the Johnston Confederate who led police to the horrific find. He decided to inform on the brothers because if he didn't, quote, he knew he'd be the next one in the ground. Which is crazy. So it wasn't just Bruce Jr., it was this Jimmy, too.
Yeah.
I mean, this Ricky. So the three had been killed on August 16th, 1978. So months prior. Months prior. Mitchell had killed Samson, the last to be shot. David Johnson had killed Dwayne Lincoln. And Bruce Sr. had taken care of his stepson. Later, another gang member, Leslie Dale, would tell police that Bruce Sr. told him Jimmy Johnson was still gurgling when he was dumped into the common grave. Yeah. Just disgusting. This guy is still alive and you're going to bury him.
Yep.
Yep.
Oof.
Yep. It's disgusting. But one of the reasons, like, the couple days before the killings, Jimmy had been served with a subpoena, actually. So I guess to hush him up, they killed him.
Can't talk if...
If you're dead, yeah. But of course, you still had Bruce angry because his 15-year-old girlfriend, Robin, again, had been raped by his dad, Bruce Sr., right, in a motel room. And that's why he turned on them because, like, your dad hurt your girlfriend. Yeah, right? Yeah. So again, like, that is this horrible gang. This dad kills his stepson, puts a hit on his own son, rapes his son's girlfriend. Like, this guy is a nightmare. But when it comes to the whole story about the murder, it's interesting because they actually, like, talked them into going out one by one into the woods. They were kind of let out, not realizing what was happening. So again, like, I'm just kind of skimming through this again. But they're let out one by one and killed over a period of time. So that actually happened on this property, and they were buried there in a shallow grave. So, and one guy was buried alive. Makes me think back to Laura's story.
That story is still... that's probably the worst story we've told on this podcast so far. No,
with Laura. So, regardless of whether this place is legit or not, like, I think that when you have bloodshed in that regard, there's going to be some kind of negative imprint on
there's definitely a possibility of activity happening, but... I don't see enough evidence to suggest it. It all sounds like urban legends, stories teenagers tell to each other late at night to creep each other out. Even the SUVs, I believe that's all real. Whether or not it's a cult house, maybe. but as of right now, I just see someone who is sick and tired of people prowling around their property. Exactly. It's the rich people version of get off my lawn.
Well, and what makes me think that there's not much truth is if I go back to Weird Pennsylvania, this is where I had complained about this book getting the stories wrong.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
On page 17, it's with the picture of the skull tree.
Yep.
There's a skull tree.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Girl on the tree. There is a tree near Jersey Town where a girl supposedly hung herself. They get confused and they put Katie's church in here with the cult house. Yeah. People go there. They say they've been followed, chased away by a black Jeep. Again, they're mixing up. Get off our urban legends. Get off my back lawn, okay? Get out of Pennsylvania.
Katie's church is our area.
That's ours. So that's like,
go back and listen to our Katie's church episode.
That's right. And by the way, here's the story of, like, the filling the tree with concrete didn't work, obviously.
Oh, also, hanged.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Drives me crazy when people...
Remember when it used to didn't drive you crazy?
No, it's always driven me crazy. Yeah. Hmm. You're thinking of someone else. It's always driven me crazy.
Yeah. It's hanged. You hang a human.
Yep.
Anyway. So, I think...
Yeah, what's your side of this?
So I think that there is negativity there that's been imbued, because if you believe enough, you can imbue a power into something.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's not people there being stupid and drawing satanic symbols. All right. But I think if there's any haunting there, it's those poor souls that were killed. And there's a fourth person that body has yet to be found, because four people were killed, but only three bodies were found.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, if they hear, like, strange noises, there's ghostly apparitions. My assumption is that maybe, I'm not going to say no, we're in the well house right now. All right. But I don't think that the trees grew away from there because the devil, like, you know, breathed out a satanic prayer down the road. If anything, it's because we cut back the trees because it's Pennsylvania and we power lines are important.
Yeah. Like, looking at that picture, it's like, oh, they cut the trees.
Yeah.
There is so no question in my mind why the trees look like
that. And that house obviously would have predated electricity, but once there was electricity, they're going to be the first to get it because they got money.
Yeah.
So to get those power lines in, though, you got to cut the trees back to make the power lines work.
Mm-hmm.
So, all I see is power line. If anything, maybe also some downdraft winds or
a tornado. The fact that the tree, some, very small amount of the trees are curved, that... Like, I don't know why those grew that way. But other than that...
No, so there's a definite maybe there. Pukwa PJ strikes again. No, I agree. I think the trees maybe just got bent. Sometimes if you hit a car with a tree, the tree goes sideways.
No, it grows at an angle. It doesn't curve. Like, it's... Like, I don't even know how to... Almost like a lowercase f is how it looks. It goes straight up and then just bends and then grows that way.
Maybe got stomped on as a child.
So I'm like, that's the only thing I can't figure out is
I'm
why
a child, not a sapling.
Do the trees, some of the trees do that, you know? And so maybe a botanist out there can tell us.
Botanists are definitely listening to this story.
Absolutely. This podcast. Of course they are. But yeah, like, this forest is definitely creepy enough that M. Night Shyamalan filmed a pseudo-horror movie.
Well, I think it's creepy those woods, because of all the urban legends that come out of it, and with a real-life murder.
Yeah.
Well,
but the trees, like, murder. If you want to see the forest, watch that movie, because it's, again, like, they filmed it in those woods. You get to see the twisted, mangled trees.
Well, and the entire movie is loosely based off that idea, too, because you have this group in the middle of nowhere. And at some point, there's going to have to be incest, you know, if they're all living together out there, but they're cut off from the world, you know, so it's very loosely based off of this urban legend.
Also, for anyone who hasn't seen it, the marketing people made it look like a horror movie, which is why the movie flopped in theaters. It's not a horror movie. What? It's a dystopia movie.
You mean The Village?
Yeah.
I actually really liked it the first time I watched it.
It's
still good now.
The first time I watched it, I was a little disappointed, and then... I realized it's not a horror movie and it was just marketed wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this movie's actually pretty darn good. Yeah, I was just looking at it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because like when she realizes the group conformity and the, you know, what they do to get to that conformity.
Yeah.
And how a zealous person can take it to the extreme.
Typical dystopia, you know, like they live in this little self-contained community cut off from all these... off from all these other towns and everything. And so, you know, like, in order to keep this a perfectly working community, you know, the elders who run it, you know, aren't the best people. Without spoiling too much, like, that's, you know.
Yeah. Well, they want to make sure that no one leaves. And I think it's a really terrible coping mechanism because how they all came together, how they first met, is because they couldn't overcome a loss of somebody. Like, someone who left, for example.
Yeah.
And so it's like, this isn't healthy coping. When you close off your
family.
Might
have to cut some of this out here.
The Village is super old at this point. Like, if they have not watched it, we have not given anything really, really away.
I guess. We haven't.
No.
Okay.
No, because we haven't
said Watch The Village. It's really good.
Yes. Just don't look at it as a scary movie. Look at
it's not a horror movie. It's not.
There are horrifying moments.
I'd say creepy moments.
Okay, sure. Sure. Creepy moments.
Yeah.
There's a fear of the color red.
Yep.
Which is adorable. And I like that M. Night Shyamalan is in it, too. He always makes himself a cameo.
He puts himself in there somewhere, yeah.
I love it. I think the biggest role he ever had, though, was in Signs, because he actually talks, and that a lot, and his character is the reason the whole entire story exists, so that's kind of interesting. Signs will go down as, like, my favorite Shyamalan movie.
That one has too many plot holes. Sixth Sense
is
my favorite.
Well, okay, sure.
Sixth Sense is arguably a perfect movie.
Yes. I hold that Signs is perfect, too, if you look at it as a Roman Catholic.
I mean, if you, because
the aliens have cloven feet, even.
But without the religious undertones, like, if you just watch it as a movie, it does not make sense. Like, a good movie should make sense on the surface and beneath. But on the surface, the movie falls apart.
But you just told our listeners to look at The Village as a dystopia, not a scary movie.
That's you're giving still them a no, viewpoint. No,
so now
you're
giving
still
you a viewpoint for Signs.
No, because The Village
How
on the
feel
surface
to be married to an English teacher.
But on the surface, The Village still works as a movie. It's just that the marketing people said, it "Hey, flopped. Watch this horror movie," and but it's not a horror movie. It's like me telling someone to watch Tropic Thunder because it's a war movie.
I see Tropic Thunder. We still gotta watch it.
Right? It's the same thing, though, because then people go watch it and be like, this was the worst war movie I've ever seen. Like, well, obviously, it's not a war movie. So
what do you mean, you people?
So that's my thing about The Village. Is The Village is better than Signs in terms of how it's made, structurally. This is now like a movie
but
pod.
They also go to cities where there's less water, but there is water in the air. So I understand what you're saying. But
and we're 70% water.
When they're just trying to, I think, eat us, harvest us, grab them and go. It's like, you don't want to, you know that McDonald's is kind of dirty, but you're hungry. You just got to grab and go. You go through the drive-thru really fast. You don't go in the store. You go to the drive-thru. You know what I'm saying? So I think on the premise, this movie works too. They wanted to grab and go.
I will say, in terms of characters and music and plot and everything, I like Signs more.
Me too.
The Village is a little slow. It's plotting. I don't like the characters as much.
They're not as, you don't really connect with them like you do in Signs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you feel for them. Like, the family's broken because of the loss of the mother,
But Signs hasn't aged well because Mel Gibson.
Oh, but he does such a great job.
He is amazing in that movie. He's really good. But dang, if you can separate the artist from themselves,
see a very young,
like
Joaquin Phoenix too.
Yeah. If you can separate reality from fiction and just enjoy the movie without thinking about the artist,
there's a lot of big actors.
The actor, then you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, but again, if we're going back to the cult road then thing, back to The Village. I think that you should watch The Village now after having listened to this podcast and think about it, because how would you feel if you were being chased down the road in your car by someone dressed in a creepy cult outfit, regardless if they look like a big creepy rat or whatever, if Ku Klux Klan, some kind of guard's car and robe, whatever, how is it going to feel?
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Especially in those woods, because those woods are creepy looking. Those trees are all twisted and mangled looking.
I feel like if we're looking at Philadelphia, they chopped down a lot of trees initially when we first came here to America as a way to make money, but also to build houses and to burn, to heat our houses. And so a lot of our woods kind of look like that if you're close to like a town, because only the saplings have started to grow. Like, a lot of our hundreds plus year old trees don't exist anymore.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Unfortunately. We came over in the 1600s. It was untouched woodland.
Yep.
By this time, it's touched woodland.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, but that's all I have this evening, The Cult House.
And our movie corner.
You're welcome. And there's no reason to talk about Sixth Sense, because that movie is perfect. So, like, there's no question. Oh, we love that
one. I could spend an episode talking about
Sixth
Sense.
I know you could. I think he peaked early.
Yeah, he had that one good idea, and then each subsequent movie kind of got a little lesser.
Yeah, a little bit here and there.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, he still is a great guy. He helps out.
Mm-hmm. And he has great ideas. Mm-hmm.
He's really good with, like, with musical scores and kind of getting a focal point in, like, with his camera optics and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Visually,
and he can really build
a
story.
He makes really good-looking movies.
Yes. But he can really build a story, too. Like, the symbolism behind it. Mm-hmm. It's no question that Signs is supposed to be a Christian allegory in some sense. But it's called Signs. crying out loud.
Yeah, right.
And, the whole idea of water, it seems stupid because it's the world.
Yeah, on the surface, it's stupid.
But you can only, get rid of demons with holy water. As we know from an exorcism, holy water with oil in it and extra things. But so I think if you look at it, and all the names are symbolic too, including Bo.
And all the hidden crosses.
Oh, so many.
All over the place.
Who is the actor, the actress, the little girl? Because she's in so many movies when she was a kid.
Yeah.
I love her. But why is this cup here? It has his amoebas in it. I can't. But just beautiful, beautiful story. So anyway, I think we should end for this evening. Oh, no, we should not. We need to announce our winner.
Yes.
So Earlier, I compiled all the names into a spinny wheel of fortune, and it was a lot of names. And who is the winner? Drum roll, please, PJ. The winner is Tim!
Tim!
I'm so excited. Tim will tag you. We'll let you know that you won. You get... Here we go. All right. You get the pin of two little ghosts hugging a heart with hearts in their eyes. It says, "You're never alone if you have demons." You get the car circle magnet that says The Well House Exorcism. It's beautiful. You get the t-shirt that says The Well House Exorcism. And you get the mini ice tray, which you can also use for resin, I learned. And they are...
Runes.
So you make ice runes, and they're a nice size for, you know, glasses of scotch. Or
if you put resin in it, you can make little rune stones.
You can make rune stones. And it's silicones. They're bendy, so you can really pop those runes out when you finish using resin. So congratulations, Tim. So happy for you. Thank you for being a devout listener and messaging us all the time. We appreciate it. Once you finally get to those bunkers, let us know and come on here and we'll talk.
We're going to go to the bunkers too, so maybe we'll exchange stories.
Wonderful. And thank you for all the new listeners out there. Love seeing our numbers grow. Please leave us comments on Facebook or on our podcast, wherever you're listening, or on, you know, email. We love the email.
Email us. Our email is gamesoboard@gmail.com.
We do answer. We promise.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Jackie.
Yep. Ask Jackie. Ask Tim.
Now that my summer has officially begun.
I can't believe we picked Tim.
I know. When I saw it, because I'm watching this video, I'm like, I wonder who's going to win. I was like, okay, it was getting really close to Penny and to Kaylin. And I was like, okay, cool. All right. All right. And then landed him like, Tim! I got so excited.
That is crazy. He was the first person to message the pod.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he just, and he's like, yeah, I was listening to your podcast and I realized I live very close to you.
You live in the town where we work.
Yeah.
Crazy. No, and this was legit. Like, I took a screenshot. Like, it was, but when the little circle, the little tag, it was almost going on to the next person. Like, Tim, you got lucky.
Wow.
It was close to the next person, which was Linda.
I really, like, look at the
and
screenshot.
Linda already won one thing, so she's got back off.
She did, didn't she?
Yeah. And we delivered that to her home. We love you, Linda. All right. Well, in any case, thank you guys for listening. Please check us out on Facebook at Games Overboard. Remember, we're just a subsidiary of Games Overboard. You can go to our website, gamesoverboard.com. You can find me on the Well House Exorcism on Twitter with the @wellhouse_exorc as your handle. And of course, you can email us at any time or Facebook message us and we will answer.
Mm-hmm.
And Puckwah PJ may talk to you too.
For sure. Yep, we both share that Facebook account, and when you send us a message, we both get it.
It's one of us.
So one of us will reply. We usually put a little tag at the end of who it is replying
parentheses,
to you.
Parentheses, Shanna.
Yep.
PJ tends to answer the Games Overboard emails, and I do the Well House ones.
Yep. If you reply to any of our YouTube videos, because all of our episodes are posted to YouTube, you can reply to that, and I get notified immediately when you do.
Yep.
So you can do that, too.
We are sitting here wanting to talk to you. Please have a conversation with us. Nothing is silly.
Nobody talks to us. Except for Jackie and Tim.
All of your friends on Games Overboard.
I know.
You've had Zoom interviews.
We've literally made friends
over
Zoom.
Hey, Kevin Paul. My super best friend, Kevin Paul.
Yep.
All right.
We've made a bunch of friends over Zoom so far.
It's been wonderful. Less than a year. Yeah, it's been great to kind of connect people. Yeah. And I do want to say this was Puckwah PJ's choice tonight. I gave him three different choices. He did not choose Kevin Paul's story that I was going to use. So, Kevin Paul,
Sorry, you're Kevin. My
best friend, not PJ.
I just knew more about this one.
That's true. That's true. All right. Well, I guess we should say goodnight.
Good night.
Wow. All right. Well, have a lovely week, y'all. And congratulations again to Tim. You're awesome.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.